chapter 10. Thank you, Gina and Abby. Hebrews chapter 10. Title of our message today will be Keys to Perseverance. Keys to Perseverance. And so, if you remember, as we finished last week, pretty tough lesson. It's as we finished up, the author of Hebrews last week said it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And how, if we're not careful, he ends. Does anybody need any sheets? Lee, you have the sheets back there, study guides. If you need one, hold your hand up. Hold your hand up if you need a study guide. There you go. Sandy needs one. Sandy. Megan needs one. Caitlin needs one. Thank you, Lee. As we were raising our children are grown now, so we can't talk about spanking anymore. In fact, that's about a thing in the past. But when we were raising them, guess what? It was the norm that if you disobeyed, you got your fanny wore out, all right? It's called a spanking, you know? That's a thing in the past, right? Do I have to explain what a spanking is? Does anybody know? Everybody knows, right? Okay. If you do me, I grew up one every day, so I know exactly how that. I needed one, okay? Sorry, Mom, I love you. Okay, she listens to my sermons. I deserve them. I needed more of them, that's for sure. But listen, but when we punish our children, and it's difficult sometimes because you've told them this is going to be the consequences of your actions. If you do this, this is the results of your actions. And so when they push that envelope to see if you're saying what you're saying is the truth and it's time to punish them, sometimes you would just about rather take the spanking yourself, but you know that you've got to punish them, right? And there's a moment there where you're punishing them, but you feel bad, and they're crying and all that, and it's a moment that you're like, as a parent, you realize it's something that must be done for them to learn this thing, but then when it's finished, you take them in your arms and you love them. It's also a very sweet moment there because they realize, hey, Mom and Dad love me. This is the reason they do these. And you comfort them and you encourage them and you tell them, look, if you do this, this is what happens. I don't want to do this, but if these are the results of the things that you do, and there's going to be consequences to your choices. And so when we get to this part in Hebrews, it's almost like the author here has wore them out with a pretty hefty warning and told them, listen, if you last week we were talking about apostasy, if you walk away from the faith, if you turn your back on God, there's no way you can ever be saved. You cannot reject Jesus Christ. Hear me this morning. Hear me. You cannot reject Jesus Christ and have a right relationship with God and ever make it to heaven. That's about as plain as you can put it. You cannot. And so when he's telling them that, because they're wavering and they're thinking about going back to Judaism, they're being persecuted. Now, it's easy for us to say, how can they do that? We've never been persecuted like they were. And we'll see that as it comes out in these verses today. And so it's almost now that he's gave this harsh warning and he's taking them back in his arms and he's comforting them, saying, yeah, but I love you. And look, let's remind ourselves of these, what's happened and what's happening. We want you to persevere. We want you to go forward. There's press on, brothers and sisters. Press on. Why? The finish line. Listen, this is not a 100-yard dash. This is a marathon, and it takes persistence, and it takes running the race. And that's what he's telling me. He's getting to this point of it where it's almost like he's pulling them back in his arms. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 before we go any further. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be looking at verses 32 through 39. I hope you have your Word of God with you, that you can open it up and follow along with me, that you know that the man that's standing here is preaching you, thus says the Word of God. And so take it in your hand and stand at your feet, if you would, to reference the reading of it. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verses 32 through 39. Word of God says this, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, touch our lives, prick our hearts, show us where we are with you, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So as we see and we think about these, those dreadful, aggressive words that he's given warning, but he's also, now he's pulling them close and saying, but be encouraged, children. Be encouraged and press on. And he's telling them that no turning back. Now was not the time to shrink back. And I like the old Janet Paschal song. I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. To some he's a name, but to me he's my everything. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That Janet Paschal song. And this is what he's saying. Listen, you've got too much behind you to let the world blind you. Go forward. Press on. What a word to us today as we look around and we see our world that's turned upside down because of sin. And it's easy just to, because we're Christians and because we come to church, to feel like, hey, we're okay. We're okay, but there's so much more to just being okay this morning. There's so much more than just sitting in a pew or getting our church fix on Sunday. It's a life that God has called us to. An abundant life. And so he's encouraging them. Listen, go forward. Two encouragements that I want us to look at in this, as with these keys to perseverance this morning. Remember the past first. Look at verses 32 through 34. Remember the past. But he says, but recall the former days. In what? The days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. He's saying, remember where you came from. What a good word this morning. Remember what Christ has done for you. If I ask, what has Christ done for you, I would dare say that we could spend the rest of the service and end of some time, people standing up and say, this is what Jesus did for me. And he's saying, remember, go back to where the spring of your spiritual life. You remember the spring of your spiritual life? I remember it well. When I first got saved, you remember, Lee, when God opened up your eyes and when you hadn't grown up in a Christian home and you finally, it's all of a sudden like, oh, it's almost that way for heathens, okay? I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so it was like God opened my eyes, and it was an amazing thing, and I was so hungry for the things of God, and Sandy, he brought me a woman, too. Woo, woo. Yeah, he brought some good things into my life, right? But in the spring of my life, it was just such a marvelous time to think back. And you know what? I had been working with those old guys for so long, and I came to work with my Bible, and they're forgetting it. Look, and they're looking at me like, what in the world are you doing? I told them what Jesus had done for me. They said, he'll get over it. Just give him time. I'm serious. That's what they were waiting on, me just to get over it. Guess what? I never did. In fact, I got to win a lot of them boys to the Lord. Praise God. But listen, it's remembering your past. And when they look back at their past, I want you to see some things that they saw. After that warning, he said, here's some keys to persevering in this road that gets weary, in this world that's so dark. How do we press on? He says, remember back. What's he recalling? What Christ had done. And what he had done, that great struggle. And a lot of theologians believe this was when Emperor Claudius kicked out all the Christians out of Rome. Now, how would you like that? You were living in your town. They just kicked you out because you're a Christian. In other words, out of here. You get out of here. And you had to leave with just the clothes on your back. And so a lot of people think it's reference to winter and sin. It was a great struggle for them. It cost them something to be a Christian. It cost them something. And this, he says, recall there. Remember means that carefully thinking back. And what are we remembering? There's some words here I want you to see. First is endured. Look what it says. You endured a great struggle with suffering. You endured a great struggle with suffering. But don't miss those first words before that. After you were illuminated. When Christ comes into your life, the lights come on, okay? That's what he said. He illuminates us spiritually. Our spiritual lights come on. Why? We were living in darkness. And when we're illuminated, he turns the lights on. And these are the keys. He said, remember when he turned the lights on. And then what was the result of that when Christ came in their life? They were remembered that they endured. It was a struggle. We don't know how that is in America, do we? We just take it for granted that they were suffering. They were struggling. Tremendous conflict. And these verses, by the way, precede that great hall of fame that we'll get into next week. And he said, listen, if you're looking for just an easy road, if you're looking for Christianity to make everything so easy and light, no troubles, you're looking in the wrong place because it's not in this word right here. But I see in the midst of those struggles, in the midst of those hardships, I see a joy that is unspeakable. I see a joy that only can be given through Jesus Christ. And these struggles even bring us closer together. It should cost us something to be a Christian. Let me ask you, what's it costing you this morning? Wait a minute. It should be costing you something. You should look more like Christ in the world. Can you fit in any crowd? Can you fit in any crowd? Because that's what we like. We want to fit in. We don't want to stand out, do we? Christianity calls for us to be different. To be different, to line up with a standard that goes contrary to God's Word, or in a world that goes contrary to God's Word, to live by God's Word, to see people, to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. It will cost you something if you're living for Christ. It might not be the persecution they were enduring and the tribulations. And we're going to see they endured that. Men and women that persevered. He's calling them to stand their ground. Goodness, we need that today in 2018. Stand your ground. Why? You have no reason to waver. You're standing up on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, His promises, His truth. Why would we ever waver? It's because we don't understand whose we are and what He said and the promises of His Word. Stand your ground. Like you did before. He's telling them, you endure. But not just that, look, he said you were examples. Now this is where it gets tough. What's he say? While you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulation. These verses will show this sequence of character in these believers' lives. That word spectacle is talking about a public spectacle. You were put on display for everybody to see. Some of our greatest fears. And what he's saying, and that word actually, we get the word theater from. Spectacle to bring up on the stage. In other words, they were making fun, they was beating them, persecuting them, and they were putting them out for everybody to be to see and be displayed. I'm going to tell you, after Claudius came Nero, and it would get worse, much worse than that. They would be the entertainment in the Roman Colosseums as Christians were eaten and hacked and killed, and that was their entertainment. That was your brothers and sisters, by the way. That was our heritage. It would be a spectacle for all to see. Nero would dip them in tar and put them on stakes and light them to light his courtyard. That's your brothers and sisters, by the way, that stood, that did not waver, even in the face of death. He said you were an example. And it says in a picture, it's actively, it's this willingness to suffer for the Christ's sake. Why? For the price of victory. You see, there's nothing in this world That's worth giving up for the price of victory, the victory in Jesus, and the hope that He brings in our life, and the purpose that He brings. Dear Lord, we should be the most victorious people. In other words, whatever comes our way, there is something that cannot be taken away from us. Take it all, materially, and we still have everything. We have Christ and the hope of Christ in a world, the beyond this world, heaven. And he's telling them, he's saying, remember back as you were an example by reproaches and tribulations. They were made that entertainment. You know what happened when they were squeezed? Christ came out. What comes out of you when you're squeezed? Life has a way of squeezing us, does it not? I've made that analogy before. You squeeze an orange and orange juice comes out, don't it? When you're squeezed, what comes out? He's saying, man, these people look back for when you endured those reproaches and tribulations. And said, and you became companions of those who were so treated. You know what they did? Brothers and sisters in Christ locked arms and faced whatever came their way. Why? Because they had Christ and they had it all and they had each other. That's what church is about, by the way. I told my Sunday school class, young adults this morning, this should be the place that we're the most real that we are. Are you the most real today? While you're in church? Or are you a phony and play one way and when you step outside the doors you're a different way? Are you? This should be the most real that we are. We struggle. We go through hardships. We have temptations. We all go through that. This should be the place that we come and we draw strength from one another. Not have to worry about getting fingers poked out or it being placed on Facebook for the whole world to see. But real. Real before the world. And struggle. We struggle. You mean you struggle, Pastor? Yes! Every day, I struggle with sin just like you do. I'm a man just like you are men in the same struggles you have, I have. There's nobody bulletproof in this room, okay? Nobody. And so when we come together, we should draw strength and we should be able to come to one another and say, I'm struggling in this area. Accountability. I'm struggling here. Pray with me, brother. And that's what he's saying, that they were together. They identified themselves with other Christians. Young people, when you're at school, are you identified as Christians or you don't want, that bunch gets made fun of. I don't want to be identified with them. They weren't like that. They would be identified with Christ wherever they went. They didn't care what reproach, what was being done to them. They locked arm in arm in love and they went forward in Jesus' name. And he said, this is how you persevere. This is how you go forward. This is how you press on. You became companions of those who were so treated. Arm in arm, they face the world. Man, that's fellowship in suffering, brother. That's fellowship together. They faced it in Jesus' name. Whatever came down the pipe or whatever came up the lane when they were in the Colosseum, they locked arm in arm and they took it in Jesus' name. We stand in a world that we'll, if somebody makes fun of us, we'll turn our back just about, just to keep our own name safe. We should stand in Jesus' name. As this world gets worse and worse, we should shine brighter and brighter. And we stand on His principles, and we do not waver. We make our choices, and we don't scratch our heads and say, I don't know where I stand on this. Why? I stand on the Word of God, and whatever He says, that's what I do. Regardless of how the world sees me, or looks at me, or talks about me. Why? Because I got a whole family that believes the same way. And, hey, you could be part of that family too. Come on, let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. They were examples, but also look, they were endearing. Look what it says. For you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now, this is where it gets tough. You know what he's saying? He said, you had compassion. The writer of Hebrews was in prison as well. And during this time, I won't say that kind of gives you an idea of why I believe what I believe, but we won't talk about the authorship, okay? Listen, God wrote it. That's what matters. Hey, he was in prison, though, and the only way that you could survive in prisons in that time was people had to bring you food and clothes, okay? It wasn't like a resort like our prisons today, okay? You actually were incarcerated, and it could cost you your life. And so he said, these people, and you know what? When you identified as a Christian, when you were going in those prisons helping a Christian, you were being identified as a Christian. You could very easily end up the same way as who was there. They put their life on the line. They cared. They had compassion. They sympathized. Compassion on me and my chains. They visited them. It was a high risk, and yet it was worthwhile. That was my brother. That was my sister. I love Matthew 25. Jesus says, whenever you did it to the least one of these, my brethren, you what? we do it for Christ's sake and for His glory. Everything we do, they joyfully, listen to what it says here, they joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Now, let's get real. Let me ask you this question this morning. If everything that you had was taken away from you right now, I'm talking material, everything that you had taken away from you, to all you had was the clothes on your back, would you still praise God? Would you still represent Him in a way? Because that's what they're saying. You know what? They joyfully now. How many of us would be saying, oh, go ahead and take it. Praise the Lord joyfully. That's what it says. They joyfully gave up the material things that they weren't holding on to them, but they realized, hey, it's costing us everything, but we gained everything. What profit if a man, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what the Sermon on the Mount tells us. How would we react to that? If they took everything you had, would you still be joyful? It's contrary to human tendency, by the way. We hold on to everything. Mine, I remember Buzzle Billy. Give me hands. I don't know if you've ever read that story to your kids. Buzzle Billy, every time he took one of the kids' story, he grabbed another hand. He had all these hands sticking out, and he took all the toys. They're mine. But he couldn't understand why he didn't have no friends in the end. He kept giving those toys back, and it was, boop, another hand would go. But we have give me hands. Just like Buzzle Billy. We grab a hold of everything. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. They didn't. They kept their hands open. Which, by the way, it's all God's this morning. Everything we have, even down to the breath in our lungs and the beat of our heart, is God. And He gave it to us. Let go. He said, let go of it. Here's how blessed we are. We even got storage places that we've got so much stuff that we store it in places. And a lot of times we don't even go down there and lift the door and see what we got. Where's it at? It's down in the storage rent place. I think it is anyway. We forget what we got. It goes with so much stuff. And so he said that there. And by the way, this is not natural. This is supernatural, okay? It's the more factor in our Sunday school lesson last week. Are there more factor in your life? Can people see more in you? Not just the same old, but the more factor. That more is not natural. It's supernatural. And it's when Christ gets a hold of us and we just turn it loose. The treasures in heaven mean more than the treasures on earth. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and take it away. They had a better treasure. And they was willing. He said, you know why he said that? Jesus said, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The Lord, see, it's the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's our hearts. Where is our treasure? They're not wrapping their hands around it. They're remembering what Christ has done for them, and they're remembering that joy that they were willing to sacrifice everything for Him. They're remembering the brotherhoods, the fellowship of the saints as they went through the trials and tribulations together. And they would remember what Christ has done for them. Just simply remember will help us persevere and go forward in Jesus' name. Not only do we remember the past, but look at verses 35 through 39. It's responding in the presence. Remembering the past, responding in the presence. And what does it say, verse 35? It says here, it says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of our soul. So it's not just remembering what Christ has done, but living in that, responding in the present. Do not cast away your confidence. By remembering what the Lord has done, we are reminded that our confidence does not rest in ourselves, but in Christ. And we can go forward in Jesus' name. You see, when I walk down the aisle, you've heard me say this many times, and I'm going to keep saying it. When I walk down the aisle, it wasn't just a one-time experience praying and receiving Christ and got up and nothing changed, but my life changes daily. Daily. He's still working. He's got a lot of work to do on me. A lot. It's so it's this ongoing personal sanctification. It's growing in grace and knowledge of Him, and it's this ongoing. He's saying that remembering what Christ has done will make me respond in the present and live out what He's done. It's not, is your examples all in the past? What you did for Christ, what God did in your life, do you have to go back? Or can you not go right here this week? How about yesterday or this morning? What Jesus has done in your life? How far do you have to go back for the examples? He's saying it should be responding in the present. For you, He said, for you have need of endurance or perseverance. He's saying, man, again, this ain't a 100-yard dash. Ooh, let's run as fast as we can in a 100-yard dash. You ever do that in track? I'll never forget that. Oh, I'm just dropping everything. Listen, in track, I went out for track. I'm not built for track. Not now. At one time I was. I went out for track. I'll never forget it. 100-yard dash. You get on that line, you're ready, and you just run as fast as you can down through that right 100 yards. I think it was like 12 seconds or something. Dear Lord, that's even back when I could run. You know, thought I'd really done something. Well, I thought, well, I'm not that fast because there was people way out in front of me anyway, okay? Just a couple, they blew me away. I said, maybe I ought to go a little longer. So I went to the 880. Went from 100-yard dash to 880. Guess what I did? I got on that starting line. Pow! 100-yard dash runner. And I, you know what I noticed? I was way out in front. I'm burning it up. This is my race. And I got around there about that next 100 yards, and it was like my legs started feeling like it. And you know what happened? All these guys started going by me. I finished dead last again. You cannot run 880 or a marathon like a 100-yard dash. It is, you have to time it out, you have to be methodical, and you have to press on, and you have to run every time, every day the same way. This is not a 100-yard dash, folks. Our Christianity is a marathon. It's long distance. It's running with perseverance. It's pressing on. And we need that endurance. The quotation he uses is from Habakkuk there in 2:3, where he makes that quotation, for yet a little while. He is coming and will come and will not tarry. And I love that. He's referencing this author to Jesus. He's coming, by the way. You might think he's tarrying or never come, but the scripture says he's coming. End of it. God said it, I believe it, and that ends it. You don't have to believe it. God said it, it's finished. He's coming again. And so we are to be prepared for that. And he's referencing that. But in Habakkuk, listen, Habakkuk was the prophet that he could not believe. God had said, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and I'm going to punish my people for not being obedient to me. And so Habakkuk was having his hard time. Here's what he was having a hard time with. He couldn't understand how God could use pagan people that didn't live by his standard to punish his people that he had called out to righteousness. And so he was struggling with this, and he was saying, how can this be? And he said, now the just shall live by faith. And he was getting where else on the point where, I don't understand it, and how, God, you can do it, but I believe it, and you're going to do it because you said it, and that's your promises. And one of the best parts in getting that, he said, I believe what God's getting ready to do, because Habakkuk, listen, in Habakkuk 3:17-18, you can see there, he says, although the fig shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Boom. Back it said, I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. And it doesn't matter what I have or what I don't have. I have Christ. I have God. I have everything that I need. Here in Hebrews, I think that application is the same. The righteous shall live by faith. Jesus is coming, and that's the key to our perseverance. Remembering the past, but remembering that He will be here very soon. He will come back. He won't come back as a suffering lamb. He will come back as the warrior, righteous warrior. He'll put everything straight. Our future is bright. You know how bright? How bright's my future, Brother Dave? As bright as the promises of God. as bright as the promises of God. He told me in John 14, he told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go to prepare a place, I will come back and receive you unto myself. How bright is that future? Well, I'm just, that promise right there, I just might as well be with Jesus right now. That'll help you. That's the promises of God. That's how bright our future is. These principles are the same for today. Yes, remember what Christ has done in the past, but live in the presence with the same faith that you had in the past. It's not just a one-time experience, but it's a daily growing in Him and loving Him. In Christ, He's been in the past. I am in Christ. I will be in Christ, and I will be with Christ because of what He's done. Press on, brothers and sisters. You live in a world that's dark. 11 people killed in the synagogue yesterday. We live in a world that somebody could come right down the aisle right now and shoot you. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the world you live in. He's calls us to be ready. Reminds me of that old song we sing. We will remember. What will we remember? We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? He could return at any moment. He could require your life at any moment. Salvation is not something for us to gamble with, cast lots upon. Are you ready? Linda, come and play. Applications and we'll be done. Are you strengthened by what Christ has done for you in the past? Do you look back and just draw strength and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you? Because look at number two. Through the good and the bad. When was the last time you thanked God for your spiritual journey? You say, I'm supposed to thank Him when things are bad? Yes, you are. Through the good or through the bad. How many times, when's the last time you just said, thank you, God. Thank you for these hardships. Boy, I wouldn't want to go down there again, but thank you for what I learned through that hardship and through that storm. Number three, are you living by stronger or weaker faith in the present? So what are you talking about? How far are you having to go back to remind yourself of the faith that you had? Was your faith in the past, maybe in the past time in your life, was it greater than it is now? Stand to your feet before the Lord. What's God saying to you? If you're lost this morning, there's only one thing God's saying to you. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You say, but what about what? Don't try to figure it out. All it is the Holy Spirit saying this is what you need. You come forward and you give your life to Christ. Quit trying to mess around and try to figure it all out. You say, well, I need to do this, I need to do that. If you need to do it, Christ doesn't. You don't need Christ because you can do it. Just come and give your life to Christ. How dated is your examples? Before you, everybody's head bowed before the Lord, doing business. How dated your examples? Was that time that your faith was greater? Some have come. How about you? Do you just need to come and say, Father, Father, I just need to give you thanks. I'm going through a tough time right now. I want to give you thanks no matter. Those nothing's in the barn. Though no apples are on the trees, whatever. Those nothing's in the closet. No, nothing in the cupboard. I'm going to praise you because it's not what I have, but who I have. Lord, hear my thanks today. People are coming. How about you? How about you? Are you lost and need Jesus? This will be your day. What a great day to come and just say, you know what? I need Christ. Why? Because I know I don't have that peace in my heart. And I've wrestled with it and wrestled with it and wrestled with it. And I'm tired of wrestling with it. Because the truth is, you won't always wrestle with it. Because there'll be a time when the Spirit of God won't even speak to your heart if you keep rejecting. And that's the truth of God's Word. And that, my friend, is not a place that you want to be. What's God saying to you? Altar's open. People are here. You need to pray. few more minutes. I surrender all. Is there anything you're holding on to that you can't open your hands up and say, it's yours, God? Anything that you're not willing to say, this is yours, everything I have. Here, love you. If you prayed to receive Christ and you didn't come forward, make sure somebody knows that. God said, you're not going to be ashamed of me in front of you. So let somebody know that. Why? So we can help you grow in your grace and knowledge of Him. We can disciple and come alongside of you. Why? That's so important that you have those brothers and sisters that we're talking about. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we come back. We're digging deeper. We'll go deeper into this message and talk about things and learn together. That's how we grow, and that's what it's about. But I love you guys. Any way that I can help you, please let me know. Take out the time to sit down with you and talk spiritually about any need that you might have. Why? Because I love you. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You're my family. Pray for us later.